There's a lot of politics that were weighing into the trade today. How much of an effect on agriculture, we're going to find out, or was it more outside market influence? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. So let's start out talking about the speech from the president this morning and how the markets reacted. And is it much of an ag influence at this point?
It is an influence. Obviously, if you get into a trade war, that has an influence. On, not that we do as much agricultural commodity trade with Europe as what we do with like Mexico or Canada for that matter. But it does have an effect. And obviously, the markets don't want to see a trade war. Yesterday, it was kind of sell American with foreign investors selling U.S. stocks, selling U.S. treasuries, et cetera. Angry at the United States, worried about the United States, worried about a trade war between the United States and Europe over the tiff regarding Greenland. And that weakness carried into today with some headwinds for the commodities that we saw yesterday. Well, that weakness carried in the stock market today, although we did see some strength come back in the grain and oil seeds overnight. But then President Trump spoke at Davos at the World Economic Forum, addressed to more than 60 heads of state there, and gave what I would consider to be a somewhat conciliatory speech, stating that he will not be taking Greenland by force with our military power, that he simply wants to be able to sit down, like many other presidents in the past have talked about, and negotiate a price that would be good for Greenland, good for Denmark, good for Europe, and good for the United States, that would allow us the freedom to protect Greenland. We first put troops there during World War II when Germany was occupying Denmark to keep German forces from occupying Greenland. And we got a formal agreement in 1951 to help protect NATO by having forces in Greenland. And with the ice melting around Greenland and reducing the ice cap, that makes it even a more strategic location at this point, let alone the rare earth minerals and stuff that are there. That reassured the markets. We saw stocks rally after that. The EU Commission halted work on the U.S.-European trade deal, so they were not happy. But the markets are calmed, and that eased some of the headwinds for the commodities.
Well, looking at everything that's been taking place, too, what about China? Are they done at this point buying beans from the United States? There's some conflicting reports out there on what the actual number might be.
Yeah, USDA has confirmed a little over 6 million metric tons, but our cash sources have indicated it was close to 12 million metric tons. And China has confirmed in conversations that they have reached the 12 million metric ton level as well. So that does appear to be the case. It's just we're going to see more confirmation of that coming from USDA in the days and weeks ahead as we move forward. When you look at where does that leave us, well, that leaves us with China no longer needing to buy any soybeans. I mean, they have no financial incentive to do so. And since Brazilian soybeans are so much cheaper than U.S. soybeans, and that's we expect to continue going forward as the harvest progresses in Brazil. Now, if you look at what China has bought, if they bought the whole 441 million bushels, which is what 12 million metric tons equivalates to, you look at USDA's export target of 1.575 billion bushels, you subtract the 441, that means that non-China sources need to take import of 1.134 billion bushels. That would be the second largest total on record for non-China buyers, requiring them to purchase another 229 million additional bushels. Now, they rarely take shipment of everything they buy in a marketing year. Some always gets rolled over to the next year because they can't get through the logistical issues, whatever, can't take shipment. Well, let's assume that they do. 229 is possible that we could get additional business. The risk is to the downside here. I think the focus now becomes on when China does take shipment and on the 25 million metric tons for the next marketing year. When do they start that? Do they start that? There is some sense out there that we may see them try to renegotiate that.
some good seasonal pace happening with the crush at this point as well.
Yeah, exactly right. As we follow the crush numbers overall, we find that the year-to-date crush for soybeans in the United States is estimated to be over 800 million bushels. And the bottom line is it exceeds the seasonal pace for the first third of the marketing year. And this is data through December, exceeds the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target by 38 million bushels. And that gap continues to grow month on month. And the current rally in soy oil is helping to assure that and keep that going as well as crushers have the opportunity to lock in profitable crush margins. And so I think there's a real risk that we'll exceed USDA's crush target, maybe by a significant amount, helping to offset the negativity of the export season. And I think that's a positive for soybeans and one reason we're seeing that strength in the soybean market today.
Should we have some nervousness when you look at this cattle complex? Obviously, New World screwworm is part of it, but then this really big cold snap that's set to come in, and we've got a lot of cows calving out there.
Yeah, I think that's a real problem. That's one reason we saw some strength in the cattle market today. Our numbers are already low, as we're going to see confirmed as we go into Friday's cattle on feed report, and then at the end of the month, the cattle inventory report. But when you add in the bitter cold in the northern feedlot district and the heavy snow and ice in the southern district, that's going to really bring a halt to gains. We'll see animals probably lose weight and maybe significant amounts of weight, especially where they get the snow and the ice with it as well. So that's a real problem. That provided some support today, not only for the cattle market, but for the hog market as well.
Arlen Suderman joining us today as we do a breakdown of the midweek market trade. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investments. And that's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.